Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. We live to serve your majesty. I certainly want to greet you all this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here on this harvest service, this harvest celebration. And we certainly thank God for all of his blessings towards us. The wonderful ways in which he blesses us each and every day. To him we give the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. Amen. And certainly thanks to Bev and worship team for leading us in a wonderful time of worship. We certainly thank God for our worship team. Well, as mentioned by Bev, we are starting a new series. And we're going to be, over the next forthcoming weeks, we're going to be delving into the letter to the church in Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, or the letter or epistle of the Ephesians. So we're going to start at chapter 1, and I'm going to read some of the verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 1, and we'll read down to verse number 14. And it reads like this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal promised Holy Spirit. Now, final verse. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. Indeed, this is the day that you have made, and we have assembled here on this high street to declare your praises, for you are God alone. We worship you, Lord. And we pray now that as we come to partake and feast on thy holy word, pray that you'll bless both preacher and hearer. And when it's all said and done and we leave this place, that we'll learn more of thee, so that we can go out and do your bidding in this world. Anoint me afresh now as your servant. Speak boldly to proclaim your word. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. The greatest plan. The greatest plan. Cabbages and greens. Broccoli and greens. And beans. Cauliflower and roasted potatoes. Taste so good to me. Apricots and plums ripened in the sun. Oranges and yellow bananas, good for everyone. It's another harvest festival when we bring our fruit and vegetables because we want to share the best of all good things that we've been given. It's another opportunity to be grateful for the food that we eat with a Samba celebration to say thank you to God the Father. And church, indeed, we join in with the sentiments of this harvest themed song to praise and to give honor to our great Heavenly Father for blessing us with food to eat, nourishment for our bodies that provide sustenance and nutrition to us all. This time of harvest is another reminder that although we may go to the supermarket of our choosing and purchase items that we desire to be our choice of food for that particular week, this time of harvest, church, it reminds us that ultimately it's not John or Susan who has provided food for our bodies, but all thanks and praise and glory should be directed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because as King David recognized in Psalm 24, that the reason why we have food to eat and nourishment for our bodies is because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the whole world and they that dwell therein. So again, this morning, we join in with the lyrics of a harvest Samba celebration to say to the Lord that in response to your goodness towards us, in response to your favor and your providence in our lives, our desire is to share the best of all the good things that we have been given. And friends, the sentiments of this harvest song, a song that I heard a few years ago, that I'll never forget, blessed me so much. I heard it actually for the first time right here in this church. It was in the first year when I came here as the youth leader, and we had a school here. I believe it was the school that Jane was teaching. And they came here and they filled the sanctuary, and they were singing this harvest song. It blessed me so much. And the line of the song that really stood out to me, listen again. It says, it's another harvest festival when we bring our fruit and vegetables, here it is, because we want to share the best of all the good things that we have been given. And yes, this morning we are grateful to God for the golden corn and wheat. We honor the Lord for the oats and sugar beet, fluffy rice and tasty spaghetti, wonderful to eat, coffee and cocoa tea, growing so naturally, herbal plants and all kinds of spices are very nice indeed. And yes, church, we thank God for the intricate design of how our triune God created the heavens and the earth that allows food to be grown directly from the source of the earth. Yes, indeed, we thank God for the vast array and the nature of God's wonderful and splendid creation. The lights that brought illumination to the earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars were all part of God's divine design. The creatures that live in the sea, the animals that dwell on dry land, and humanity itself, we are all part of God's wonderful handiwork, created by God. Not some pie in the sky formula, not some Big Bang theory, but it was God in the beginning that brought into fruition the great plan of creation. To God be the glory. And friends, as we celebrate today, our great God who created this earth with all of its benefits towards us, as we collect and donate food items and seek to be a blessing to others in need, we are certainly grateful for this time of harvest, where it's another opportunity to share the best of all that we've been given. And friends, the text before us today, here in the letter to the church in Ephesus, is very interesting because just as we are seeking to be a blessing to others, today, through our giving, the Apostle Paul himself, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he too was seeking for an opportunity to be a blessing to the church in Ephesus. Paul, who had become very fond of the Ephesian church after spending around 3 years with them, teaching and preaching and discipling them in the ways of our Lord. And as their apostolic leader, Paul now finds himself incarcerated under Roman imprisonment. But he was afforded the privilege to be able to receive and also to write and send letters. So Paul decides to pick up his quill and his parchments, and he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus. And over the next month, we are going to spend some time in digging deeper, thank you, Brian, into the book of the church in Ephesus. And I believe that this wonderful letter is so important, and I even see a link here to our time of celebration this morning of how God can provide great things for us. So as we celebrate the great plan of creation and the food and the crop for our nourishment as essential and important food for our bodies, the Apostle Paul here is also drawing reference to another plan. Another plan from God that even predates the plan of creation. What can predate the plan of creation? You see, when I was a kid, I used to believe, I had the understanding at the time as a kid, that when God created the heavens and the earth and all of humanity, that everything was perfect. And then Adam and Eve went and messed things up. And then God had to get back to the drawing board. This is what I believed at the time. And come up with a new plan. So he sent Jesus into the world to sort everything out. But friends, I want to encourage you this morning that the plan of creation is not the first plan that was formalized by God. No. But before God brought into fruition the foundations of the world and spoke it into existence, first of all, he provided a lamb. The Lamb of God was slain before the very foundations of this world. It was not some knee-jerk reaction after Adam and Eve's transgression in the Garden of Eden. But God, in his foreknowledge, he understood that before there could be creation, there needed to be salvation. And church, to that end, I humbly submit to you this morning that the greatest plan of all is not the plan of creation, as wonderful as creation is, but the greatest plan of all is the great news of salvation. Because at the end of the day, our hope is not in this world, but our hope is on Christ, the solid rock that we stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. So as we embark on our first stop here in Ephesians chapter 1, let us consider the following points concerning the greatest plan offered to humanity from the counsel of God's will. And number one, Paul says we have to embrace the ultimate plan. We have to embrace the ultimate plan. Look what Paul says here in verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and in love. Paul here is encouraging the Christians in Ephesus that because of their faith in the Lord Jesus, that in Christ they have all spiritual blessings, that nothing or no one else could exceed the life-giving gift of salvation. And the reason why we can embrace the ultimate plan of salvation, Paul says, it's not because of our intellect or our great faith to believe in Jesus, but Paul says the reason why we can embrace the fullness of salvation is simply because God has opened our eyes, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And church, this morning as we celebrate this harvest celebration and festival and donate food that demonstrates our love for others on a practical level, I pray this morning, church, that as the food is distributed to those in need, I also pray this morning, hallelujah, that our hearts will be overcome and will be moved to share the plan of salvation with those who are yet without the news of the gospel. Yes, it's good to share food, but the greatest need of all is salvation for the soul. Hallelujah. Salvation for the soul. And you know, it's so important that as we look around this sanctuary today, there are various dates perhaps and times where our eyes were opened to the great plan of salvation. Different eras perhaps and generations where we experience this great plan of salvation. But like Paul, we too can join in and say that whenever we accepted Christ, whatever the year was, whether it was 20, 30 years ago, or even 5 days ago, we too can join in with Paul and say, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." But not only does Paul praise God for the ultimate plan by way of embracing the plan, but he goes on to the second point, to examine the details of the plan. Examine the details of the plan. Look what he goes on to say from verse 5. He says, "He predestined us for adoption." Wow. "He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." Now, this is where Paul's letter becomes perhaps extremely challenging. And it's where several theological positions have been framed throughout the ages, and countless debates along the way. Some of you here may be familiar with the doctrine of election and predestination. And some suggest that God is comparable to a watchmaker, that the watchmaker, as he makes or she makes time to design the watch and set the time on the watch and position the dials in the right place. But after the watchmaker is finished, then the watchmaker has no longer any responsibility for the performance or outcome of the watch. In other words, it's all over to you. I've started you off, now get on with it. I'm no longer involved in what happens to the watch after its creation. But such a view of God is far from accurate, because we know that God is not just a creator, but he is also intricately involved in creation today. He is not just distant from the creation of the world, but he is also intimately involved in his creation. Thank God. However, the extreme opposite of this view is seen through the lenses of perhaps a God who maps every single detail in this world. And not just throughout creation, but also in our lives. That every event in the world And every detail in our lives has already been predetermined. Some on this extreme position may even say that God has already selected or elected those who will be saved and already said to those who will not be saved. So for those who don't make the cut, it's all over for them. So don't worry about evangelism. Don't worry about praying, because it's already been predetermined. It's already been figured out, mapped out. What will be. And friends, again, this view of God, I believe, violates the very truth of Scripture. Because if that was the case, then what would be the point of Jesus saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." God does not select some for heaven and then banish those he doesn't like to hell. That is not a true depiction of God's character and love. But what Paul is saying here is that because God is omniscient, that means he is all-knowing. What Paul is trying to convey is that God knows the beginning from the end. And yes, the call is still, "Whosoever will, let them come." But God knows through his foreknowledge who will make that decision and who will not. God knows all things. So yes, we have free will as humans and free choice. But it is because of God's mercy and the fact that he so loved us first, that we have an opportunity to open our hearts and minds to his perfect will. Paul says he has predestined us for adoption to sonship, that now we can become part of God's great big family. Hallelujah. He then goes on to say that our sins have been forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Which now leads me to our third and final stop this morning. Paul says we have to embrace the plan. We have to examine the intricate details of the plan. But third and finally, in the spirit of harvest, we also ought to share the plan. Share the plan. Look what Paul goes on to say in verse 13. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." You were included in Christ, here it is, when you heard the message. Hallelujah. Because what does it profit a man or a woman to gain this whole world but lose their soul? So yes, even to celebrate the wonderful blessings of harvest, but in turn lose their very soul for all of eternity. Because this great gospel that we affirm and believe, it is good news to the poor. It is good news to those who are sick. It is great news, church, to those who are lonely. It is wonderful news to the young. It is fantastic news to the not so young. Hallelujah. Whoever you are, wherever you are, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news that must be shared. To anyone who would hear the message of hope. And church, in closing, allow me to remind you again and remind us as a fellowship of our church motto, our focus, our vision, that we are called here to declare Christ to people and to disciple people to Christ. That is our mission. That is our goal, to win the lost for Jesus Christ. We cannot keep this great news of the gospel to ourselves. But there's a world, there's a local community here in Sittingbourne that is desperate to hear the life-changing message of the gospel. You know, when I was a kid, I remember a real transition moment in my life when I began to embrace fully the call to share the good news with others. I remember the challenge, being honest, as a kid going to school, knowing that I had this great knowledge of the gospel. But in my younger years, I found it extremely challenging to be open and to share this great hope that I had, that I was learning about Sunday after Sunday at church with others in my school. And I remember it took a moment, an interesting moment, when my friends, they began to realize that I was a Christian and go to church. I remember I invited some of my friends over and asked Mom, and said, after school, I'm going to have some friends over. I said, that's fine. And as I opened the door, the porch door, my friends, and we came in, on the floor were some letters left there by the postman. And on one of those letters, my friend saw, he overlooked, Reverend David Gordon. And he said, ah, your dad is a reverend. I said, oh, I'm going to have to talk about this now. I said, yeah. So, are you going to church? Yeah. Oh, you didn't say anything to me. It was that moment, almost like an icebreaker, if you will, through a letter, that allowed me the privilege now to be able to open up and have a discussion with my friends about the faith that I so deeply love and needed to share with others. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't allow the fears of this world to keep us in bondage. And the enemy would want nothing more to keep us in bondage from opening up to share the good news of the gospel. As Bill and Gloria Gaither would sing, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. And church, that is the message that we have to proclaim to this high street, in our community, at work, if we're legally able to do so. We have to share the good news of Jesus. Because how to reach the masses, men and women of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I believe with all of my heart, as a young preacher of the gospel, that the best is still yet to come. I'm believing that by faith. The best is still yet to come. And I join with you in prayer for our local community. There's many more seats available in this sanctuary. But even if they don't come into this building, the most important thing is that they come to know Jesus Christ, of whom is life eternal. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time of harvest. And Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us richly with so many blessings that it would be impossible to number them all one by one. We thank you for creation. We thank you for providing for us, for our earthly needs, for the nourishment for our bodies. Father, we know that there's so much going on in this world today. A pandemic that first came, a health crisis, and now it seems like there's a pandemic for fuel for our cars. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just give us wisdom as a nation, that we cannot be so selfish and self-centered, but Lord, that we can put others before ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be bearing of the sentiments of harvest, to share the best of all that we have been given. But Lord, more importantly, yes, the wonderful news of creation is great, and we thank you for creation. We thank you for this world and how you framed it. But thank you that before you even created this world, the Lamb of God was slain. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And because of that fact, hallelujah, we can come to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that you are the way. And help us to share that plan with others. Give us the boldness to do it, Lord. Help us to say the right words so that we can share this great news with others. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.